I'm going to read from Jeremiah 31. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah, not like the covenant that I made with their fathers on the day when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, declares the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And no longer shall each one teach his neighbor and each his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive them their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you so much for what Jesus did when he came to earth and died for our sins, to wash that sin away, that separation that we have from you, Lord, that through Jesus, that we can be close to you and that we can be transformed by you. God, I pray that you bless Chris today and bring in the word, help it to sharpen our minds and heal our hearts. And God, I just thank you for this place and these people. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. I'm not going to have a voice left after third service, but that's okay because we're praising the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. What a beautiful thing to do and to get together. You might be scared because I have notes. If you haven't been around for a while, all right? Man, I want to say thank you so much to the elders for last week getting a chance to, for me to come as a church member just to kind of enjoy being in the house of the Lord without any responsibilities. Thank you guys for stepping up. But I don't know if you could tell, but we're excited to be back. There's an energy that I'm excited to bring today that, man, God is so good to us. And you might have noticed sort of as we were singing the songs, a little bit of the flavor of the book of Exodus. We're beginning to get back into this study that we started in January, and we've been walking through. We took a little break in the summer for the book of Psalms, but we're picking right back up next week in Exodus chapter 19 and continuing the walk of God's people into the promised land and learning about God's eternal plan and his design and everything that we do. And if we took you back all the way to Exodus chapter 1, verse 8, you might remember there was a king, a Pharaoh, who forgot about Joseph. Joseph, the one who had saved Egypt from the famine through God's dreams, right? God had given Joseph the answer, but the Pharaoh had forgotten. He enslaved God's people. And in the midst of that slavery, Moses was born, and he was miraculously saved, and Moses, of course, had to run into Midian because of his sin for killing the Egyptian. He runs away from God, or runs away from Egypt, and encounters God at the burning bush. Yahweh, the great I am, take off your sandals. The place you walk is holy ground, the burning bush experience. And God, I wouldn't put asked him to go back to Egypt. He kind of compelled him to go back and to tell Pharaoh, let my people go. And 10 plagues later, after dismantling every Egyptian god that they had falsely worshipped, God set his people free after he had passed over by the blood of the Lamb, and they begin to walk out, walk through the Red Sea, and now they arrive at Mount Sinai. And God is going to download to them the Mosaic Covenant. He's going to give them the law. This is how you, as my people, should live. And this idea of what he's going to download to them is this idea of covenant. And what we're going to do today is we're going to take a little bit of a word study into this word covenant so we can really begin to see what God is doing. And there's one word you're going to hear me use over and over again I want you to really zoom in these next 8 or 9 weeks, and that's the word design. That do you realize that God has designed the world? He has written his story. And if Jesus Christ was the idea even from the beginning, then what he says about our future in him, we can trust. We can lean on that we can put our faith in this Jesus. So we're going to dive through and run through a bunch of different covenants today that God has already put in place, and we now get to walk in this new covenant. So let's start with the definition. What does covenant mean? All right, it is an agreement between two parties. Right, so it's a binding agreement. So the word covenant sort of is a blend of promise. Like if I was to promise something to Ryan, that's a personal thing, but it doesn't really carry as much weight. Right, let your yes be yes or your no be no. But a promise is a personalized thing without a whole lot of substance. And over here we have the idea of contract. A very impersonal thing, but it's binding. There's consequences for breaking that contract. When you merge those two things together, you have this idea of covenant, that God is coming into a binding agreement with his people, right? And this agreement is called a covenant. Now, there's two ways that this covenant can take place. There's one is conditional. He gives a conditional covenant, and one is an unconditional covenant. We need to know the difference of those as we jump into this story. For example, we know the idea of conditional covenants, right? If A, then B. So for example, if you have little kids, if you eat your broccoli, you can have dessert. That's an if, then kind of conditional statement. Or if you have teenagers, if you finish your homework, you can have an hour on video games or an hour outside or whatever, right? We have these ideas of conditional statements. If this, then that. Let me give you another example. How many of y'all have a favorite sports team? Anybody out there? Okay. So when you have a favorite sports team and you wear their apparel, you automatically have a connection with people. So if you wear something, then there's a connection. Let me give you an example. So this last Friday, I had an opportunity to go on a date with my amazing wife, Tara. And so we had this date plan that was this creative date. We had scratched it off out of this book, and here was our date. We had to go to a thrift store and buy an outfit for the other person. Now, husbands, before you go off and try this, let me give you some advice, okay? Learn from me, okay? First thing, husbands, ask for your wife's sizes. Don't guess, right? You might be thinking, it's okay, I could guess small, but yeah, if you guess small and it doesn't fit so well, not a good conversation after that, right? If you guess big, duck. I'm just saying, like, just don't guess big, okay? But just ask, like, oh, honey, what size? Here's the second thing that you need to understand. Your style is not your wife's style. Okay? Now, you know me. I don't have style. Like, that's just not something. If I had a color palette, it would be all neon colors. Right? You know that because of my hair, right? It still hasn't grown out long enough. Unless I get the Joe haircut where I just zoom it off, it's still there for a little bit longer, right? But I love neon. Tara is not a neon kind of girl. She will if we're going to match. But so third thing, husbands, give options, okay? Here's our picture, all right? This is us on our date, all right? We had to buy three items. Tara has an avocado hat on. Yeah, you know, avocado toast, healthy. Right, good, right? Right? She has a friend shirt on, right? Because believe it or not, trying to buy shirts that actually cover the whole torso is difficult nowadays in the thrift store. But that, and we bought some New Balance little used shoes on. Do you notice my outfit? The first thing you might notice is I have shoes on. She bought me shoes, and this is part of the date. My poor feet just felt so constricted the whole day. But anyway, that's one of those things. But I'm wearing an LA Dodgers shirt. In Texas, okay? In Texas, like this is enemy territory, right? But this incredible thing happened. We're walking across the street because part of the date was you had to go to the number one thing on TripAdvisor. Like if you were a tourist coming to Kyle, where would you go? The Pie Factory. There's a huge pie on the roof, right? You got to go there and you got to take a picture. And that. So we were heading there, and as we walked across Center Street, in front of Center Field Sports Bar was a guy wearing a Dodgers outfit. I don't know that much about the Dodgers, okay? But I made a new friend. Hey, here's how I know I made a new friend. I got the trifecta. I got a handshake. Man, I'm so good to see another fan right here. I got the high 10. I've never met this person before. And if he's online, hey, come back. Come to church. We'd love to hook up. He was a really nice guy, right? He invited me for drinks after. It was awesome, right? So high 10, right? And then he's like, hey, this is our year. Fist bump, right? I got the trifecta. friendship, right? Because I was wearing an LA. But if I were to walk into that sports bar, I might get some hate, right? Because the team that you're affiliated with will bring friends, but also hatred, right? What team are you on? Team Jesus? Like, when you go into the world, do they know you're Team Jesus? I had a little L and an A, like, interlinked, and I made a friend. Automatic friend, right? When we go into the world and we know Jesus, make sure they know your team. Yeah, there'll be some haters. This picture came up, the Dodger fans in here would have cheered. There's none of them, okay? The Astro fans in here all groaned. Did you hear it? I was like, what? This isn't the church for us, right? Because I'm wearing a Dodgers thing. But it invokes something in us, and Jesus will do the same thing. So if you love Jesus and you're upfront about him, there are these things that are going to happen. This is what it means to be in a conditional relationship or a conditional covenant. Now, there are other times in Scripture where God just says, I'm going to do this. He just says, I'm going to do B. It doesn't matter what you do. I'm just going to do this concerning you. So this is there's no condition to this statement. He's just, this is it. This is like those action stars in the movie, right, where they're like handcuffed and he's like, let me tell you what's going to happen. And he tells them like all this, like the phone's going to ring and this is gonna, and all this stuff is going to happen, right? And then the bad guys like laugh at him like they haven't seen all the other movies that they're around. And then all of a sudden like, whack, 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 and he walks off all cool and there's like an explosion or there's people like, ah, on the ground, right? This guy, this is God. He just says, I'm going to do this, period, all right? And so we're going to encounter that in these covenants. Sometimes they're conditional, sometimes they're unconditional. Let's start with the first one, right? On the back of your bulletin, there's some places you can fill in the blanks for some of these notes kind of as we go along. The first one is the Edenic or Adamic covenant. Now, sometimes people separate these two into two different covenants. For our sake, we're going to kind of blend them together because God gave Adam both the right to rule over Eden, but also gave him a conditional statement, a conditional covenant by which he was supposed to live. And we know this really well, don't we? Right? This is Genesis chapter 2, verse 16 and 17. Here's what it says. And the Lord commanded the man, saying, you may surely eat of every tree in the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you will surely die. So God gives him a conditional statement. And in case you're wondering, wait, I didn't see the word covenant in there. If you go forward to Hosea chapter 6, verses 6 and 7, here's what it says. For I desire steadfast love, not sacrifice, the knowledge of God rather than burnt offerings. But like Adam, they transgressed the covenant and they dealt faithlessly with me. And so Hosea mentions this covenant of Adam that Adam had broken. Before we're too hard on Adam, we know this. We're all tempted. Like if you came over to my house and I locked one room and I said, you can go anywhere in my house, you just can't go into that room. How many of y'all are curious? How many of y'all are thinking, wonder what's in that room? Pastor's deep, dark secrets, right? Something's in that room. How many of y'all be like kind of looking? We're tempted, right? When God gives this condition, we all tend to push the boundary, and too often we step over that boundary. Now, some of that is because of Adam, and what happened to some of us is because of that's just who we are. It's in our nature to want to sin. And this conditional statement, how did we do? We broke it, right? The conditional covenant, Adam broke it, and death. You know, wouldn't it be really good to know someone that could live out this covenant without breaking it? Oh yeah, there's this guy named Jesus, right? In fact, when we were singing that song about the thousand names of Jesus, do you remember singing a song when we were singing like the great I am, the second Adam? It's really amazing. So let's go to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 with me, all right? You should know this address. This is an incredible biblical address. This is the gospel just straightforward to you. Incredible whole chapter. We don't have time to read all of it, but let's start in verse 1, just to get the context and the mood of the chapter. It says, now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you revealed, which you received, and which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, and that he was buried and was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scripture. This is the gospel, that Christ came, he died, he was buried, but he rose again to conquer death. Right? And then if you go a little further in that chapter down to verse 42, for me, just turn the page a little bit, and it says this, so it is with the resurrection of the dead. This is verse 42. What is sown is perishable, but what is raised is imperishable. What is sown is dishonor, and what is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, and it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, but it is raised a spiritual body. If there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body. This means that when we die, it's not over. That there is eternity still before us, whether it's eternity with Christ or whether it's eternity away from him. Thus it was written, the first man, Adam, became a living being, and the last Adam became a life-giving spirit. That Christ came to fulfill the covenant that we couldn't fulfill in order to give us access to life. Adam brought death, but Jesus brings life. This is the plan from the beginning. This is from Genesis. And in fact, if you didn't believe me, look at verse 15 in chapter 3, the story of the fall and everything that's going on there. You see the first picture of the gospel in Genesis 3:15, where he tells them that we'll put enmity between you and the woman, and he will crush his head, but he will bruise his heel, and that Satan will strike a blow on the Son of God. But Jesus ain't finished. Jesus' death on the cross isn't the end. That's the beginning of a new life with him, and that Jesus came to fulfill this covenant for us. Praise be to God. That even from the beginning, Jesus was in the works. And then we see the next covenant. The next blank on there is the Noahic covenant. All right, so in the next, after Adam and Eve and all the things that happened there, we now have this story of Noah. And what's happening in this story of Noah is we see this rebirth of the world, because the world, when God doesn't restrain evil, is going to create chaos, death. And we see in Noah's time that the intentions of man was evil all the time. And God begins again. He judges that evil with the water of the flood, and he rebirths the earth. I don't know if that's a word, rebirths, but he gives new life to the earth. In fact, let's go back to it. Let's look in Genesis chapter 9, and let's look at this story of kind of what's happening. See if you notice any rebirth type language in this chapter. And God blessed Noah. This is right after the flood. And his sons, and he said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. Have you heard that before? With Adam and Eve, right? Be fruitful and multiply. Here God is telling Noah, be fruitful and multiply. The fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth, upon every bird of the heavens, upon everything that creeps on the ground, and all the fish in the sea. Into your hand they are delivered. Every moving thing that lives shall be food for you. And as I gave you the green plants, I give you everything. So now he's giving them commandments on food and what they can eat. So be fruitful and multiply. Here's what you can eat. This is an echo of the Genesis story that's happening here. But he keeps going. But you shall not eat flesh with its life. That is the blood. And you see this, you know, statement, life equals the blood. That happens in this covenant that's going to be important as it continues going on, because what's going to give us that right to go into eternal life? The blood of Christ, the sacrificial lamb of God. So the death passes over us and we're made new in him. And so we see this picture starting off in verse 4. And for your lifeblood I will require a reckoning. From every beast I will require it, and from man. From a fellow man, I will require a reckoning for the life of man. So he begins to put in some rules for them. Whoever sheds the blood of man, by man shall his blood be shed. For God made man in his own image. And you, be fruitful and multiply, increase greatly on the earth and multiply in it. Then God said to Noah and to his sons with him, behold, I establish my covenant with you and your offspring after you, And if every living creature that is with you, the birds, the livestock, and every beast of the earth with you, as many as came out of the ark, it is for every beast of the earth. I will establish my covenant with you, that never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of the flood, and never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth. And what sign does he give them to let them know that this is God's promise? The rainbow, right? So when it rains, which we don't know much about, but if it ever does rain again, right, the rainbow is a sign of God's promise that he's never going to judge evil with the flood, that he's going to create a way for us to have eternal life, which is going to be Jesus. So we see this covenant being an unconditional covenant, right? One that God has said, I'm going to do this. You've already done all the evil. You've already done all these things, but I'm just going to bless you and not judge you in the same way once again. And that sets the stage for the next one. Now, this one is a debated one. This is the Tower of Babel, right? Babylonic covenant. Now, put a star by this one. Some people do not consider this a covenant, right? This sort of what God does in the situation, it gets sort of lumped in with Noah, or it gets lumped in with the Abrahamic covenant. So this is one that you might want to study. It's not particularly, quote unquote, a covenant. For our sake, here's what's interesting. God creates nations, people groups, and languages, of which one of them is going to be his acting group to tell him about, tell everybody about him. Right, so he's creating these nations from this. Why? Because these people didn't trust God. What was the Noah covenant? He would never destroy the earth with water once again. But what do they do in chapter 11? They build a tower. Why are they building a tower? So if the flood waters came again, they could escape into that tower. And God confuses their language. He creates people groups. Aren't we thankful for that? Isn't it, I mean, how many of y'all love other cultures? Like, if you've ever been to Honduras, you should go to Honduras. You just find that you'll love those people and love the way they live life and wish you could bring some of that home with us, right? Travel to Africa, to Thailand, to Romania, and see all these beautiful cultures and beautiful languages and the way that God has created all these things in the world is something that we should be celebrating. Because in heaven someday, when we sing those songs, it's not going to be in English. It's going to be in the nations all together singing hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So this covenant, what God does is that he creates people groups. And out of those people groups, he's going to choose one by which he's going to bless the world. And that's our next covenant is the Abrahamic covenant. All right. In chapter 12 and chapter 15 of Genesis. So if we keep turning the pages, God begins to unveil the story that's going on. Listen to what it says in chapter 12, verse 1. Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country, from your kindred, and your father's house to the land that I will show you. And I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So we have this covenant that doesn't depend on Abraham at all. God just tells Abraham, I'm going to do these three things for you. There's three promises in this covenant. Here's the first one. I'm going to give you a land. I'm going to give you Canaan. I'm going to take you to this place. I've called you out of Ur of the Chaldeans. You've been traveling. This is your home. I'm going to give you a land. Here's the second thing. He gives them a people. He makes them into a great nation. This is going to be Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, whose name gets changed to Israel, right? This is Israel, God's chosen people to bring his glory to the world. Not his people to be exclusive and get everybody, push everybody out, but to bring his glory to the world, right? So he promises land. He promises a people, and he promises a blessing. That out of Abraham and his family, he was going to bless the entire earth. And that we get to benefit from that blessing. Who is this future blessing? Jesus, right? The promised one, right? And if you were questioning, wait, Chris, I didn't see that covenant word in there again. All right, go to chapter 15, go to verse 18, and it'll tell, God will just confirm to him, this is my covenant with you. And we see this covenant promise, God making a binding agreement with Abraham. By the way, Abraham had to wait for that promise, didn't he? He waited a long time. He questioned God many times over that covenant. He sinned against God and said, well, you're supposed to give me a child, but it's not working with Sarah. Let me find somebody else. And oh, Abraham, it wasn't dependent upon Abraham. Isn't that good news? That our life with Christ is not dependent on our good works. It's dependent upon him. We see this picture throughout the scripture. Here's the next one. If you're going to fill in blanks, the Mosaic Covenant. Now, we're just going to skim over this one real quick because the whole rest of the semester we're going to be diving into this Mosaic Covenant. But here's what's interesting about the Mosaic Covenant. It's a conditional covenant. God gives us the law. By the way, can I ask you a question? How are we doing at that? You know, we're coming up on the Ten Commandments pretty soon in a couple of weeks, right? And when we look at those Ten Commandments, basic list, how we doing? We all sin and fall short of the glory of God, right? And so this Mosaic covenant, this conditional covenant, if you live this way, you will be blessed. We just don't live that way. We fall. In fact, you're going to learn this. The more it depends on us, the more we're going to fall. And these conditional covenants, we never quite make it. We never quite follow through on our end of the bargain. But good news, Jesus came, and what we couldn't fulfill, he fulfilled for us. Isn't that good news? It's not about what you can do for Jesus. You guys are talented, gifted. You have the ability to share the gospel with like all of the world, all around the world. But if you fall, Jesus has your back. Now, we can live in the freedom that is not dependent on us. You don't have to have the perfect script to tell someone about Jesus. Just start talking about what he means to you. And if he doesn't mean that much to you, let's dive into the Word. Let's talk about the relationship. Let's make that relationship something that's rich and beautiful, right? And what's interesting about these covenants, as you see, it starts with the whole world, and now it's beginning to narrow. Now he's created for himself a nation. And then in the next covenant, the Davidic covenant, with the covenant he makes with David, we see he goes from a nation to a family. David, through your family line, the hope of the world is going to come. Jesus is going to come from your family. He makes this promise to David that there's going to be an eternal king that reigns forever. Right? We see this promise in 1 Chronicles chapter 17, verses 11 through 17. It says, when your days are fulfilled to walk with your fathers, I will raise up your offspring after you, one of your own sons, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for me, and I will establish his throne forever. I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. I will not take my steadfast love for him as I took it from him who was before you, but I will confirm him in my house and in my kingdom forever, and his throne shall be established forever. This is more than just who's going to be the next king. This is an eternal kingdom with God. And he sets the stage for Jesus to come. And here's our last covenant, the new covenant, or sometimes people call this the covenant of grace, covenant of redemption, right? This idea of in the Old Testament, God promises Jesus. He promises this grace. Let's look at it again. This is what Ross read to us a second ago in Jeremiah 31. And what's interesting about this covenant is God's part is unconditional. All we have to do is put our faith in him. So it's this interesting mix that God puts into this verse, that God is going to begin a work in us and expect us to respond to that message. Here's what it says in Jeremiah 31. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah, not like the covenant that I made with their fathers on the day when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, declares the Lord. So it's different than the Mosaic covenant. God's going to make a new covenant, even though we have cheated on him, even though we've forgotten our first love, and we choose to turn to the things of this world to find our joy instead of turn to him to be our joy, right? Then it says this in the next verse, verse 33. For this is a covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write them on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. That God is going to give us this internal, like, censor to know what is right and wrong, and he's going to write it on our hearts and put it in our minds that he is going to make us his people. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And no longer shall each one teach his neighbor and each his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me. This is what Romans 1 says, that God will make plain to everyone that he is God. Let's put it another way. Let's look at Ezekiel chapter 36. And look how Ezekiel puts this new covenant in verses 26 and 27. He says, I will give you a new heart, and a new spirit I will put within you. I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a new heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey all my rules. Guys, this is amazing. If you have a hardened heart, because if we're honest, I know this is church, but if we're honest, don't we keep a record of wrong? I mean, love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast, but it's not supposed to keep a record of wrong. How many of us keep a record of wrong? Someone walks in and we're like, I'm going to go this way out the door. Someone comes in and we have to put on that fake face because we've kept a record of the wrong that they've done against us. We all have these areas of our heart that are hardened. Guess what? You don't have to live that way. You can give that to Jesus and he's going to give you a new heart. Isn't that amazing? You're not stuck. The things that have been done to you, the mistakes you have made, you're not stuck in those things. If you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This is the gospel. This is the Old Testament proclaiming the plan that God has. And then not only do you get a new heart, you get God's spirit within you. You get help to have the love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, all those fruit of the spirit. You get gifts that you can use for the purpose of God in your life. What an incredible promise that God has given us. Why not put our trust in him? Let's finish out with another prophet. This is Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9 through 11. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming, righteous and having salvation is he, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. Wait, I've heard that story before. Who rode into it with a donkey? Oh, yeah, Jesus, right? Look what he says. I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim, the war horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow I will cut off. And he shall speak peace to the nations. He shall rule from sea to sea, from the river to the ends of the earth. As for you also, because the blood of my covenant is with you, I will set your prisoners free from the waterless pit. We'll be set free. That's why we live, free indeed. In Hebrews 12, says this, that Jesus Christ, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. That Jesus is the mediator of this new covenant. So what, do we want to do it on our own? Or we'll put our faith in him that from the beginning, this was the story. This is why we sing. This is why we celebrate him every Sunday morning. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your son, Jesus Christ, the hope of the world, our living hope. Lord, I pray that you will help us this week to live for you, Lord. I just think it's amazing the design and the story that you have written and fulfilled through your son, Jesus Christ. Lord, help us to put our faith in you completely, trusting, Lord, that you came in the flesh, that you died and were buried and rose again according to the scripture. Lord, what an amazing story. This is why we sing. This is why we meet together. This is why we are the church. Lord, help us to go into the world and speak of it as well. Thank you. In your name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Chris. Morning, everyone. My name is Chad. I get to be the group's pastor here and see a lot of new faces. If you're visiting with us, you're a newcomer, we'd love to get to know you better, love for you to get to know us. Make sure you grab a green folder that's standing up in the back, ask any of us to help you see where they are. Also, and I'm really excited about this, today is Path Group sign-up day. Who's excited with me? That's what I'm talking about. You might have seen a lot of tables out in the front. You might be wondering, what is Path Group all about? Well, would you like to check out this video? We got it ready? All right, let's check this out.
I'm Curtis.
I'm Leah.
No matter the bumps, no matter the bruises, no matter the scars, still the truth is the cross has made, the cross has made you flawless. There's got to be more.
Years ago, when we decided to join a Path Group so that we could get to know people in the church. Obviously, that was our first and foremost goal, was, you know, when we were new to the church, we wanted to meet people. But as the years have gone on, we wanted to grow closer to God and be in fellowship with those of like mind. And so I think that's what's drawn us to being in a Path Group more, is having that ability to share life with others, and, you know, from a more personal level than just going to church on Sunday or going to events at a church.
It's such a good place to know people, know how to pray for people, to get prayer, you know, when you need it. And so it's been a beautiful way. We've made beautiful, deep friendships that we will have for a long time.
I would say for me, it's, again, we're around people of like mind. A lot of them are our age. We tend to like the same things, hobbies. We kind of think the same in some regard. So we get along very well. We have great chemistry. And so that allows us just to be open and be able to share our life experiences with them. And so that just makes it nice to have someone like that, or a group that you can confine in and have prayer over and pray with them and just go through life together, and with a good group, people that you have great chemistry with, it makes it easy.
Yeah, they're our family, and these are, you know, people that we know we could call anytime. Matter of fact, we've seen it in action. If we had an emergency or a prayer request or anything like that, they would be there immediately. And it's such a comfort to know it's a place we can be vulnerable and we can really trust these people. Everyone's so committed to each other. They meet our needs in so many ways. We have a really such a good life group or path group that we play together, we have meals together, even outside of life group, we have had weekends together, and it's really, and yet during all those times that we're even fellowshipping together, the Lord is always brought into it, our needs, our prayers, our answers to prayers, our encouragement. We have been very blessed in all of those ways. As far as the people, the beautiful people in our life group, met us in every way. One of the most precious memories that we have was a few years back, one of the members of our path group had an emergency and had to go to the hospital. It was on a weeknight. It was right after most people get off work, but it was still, you know, during that time when it was hard to be available. And everybody in the life group, they stopped their meetings, they stopped work, they ran over to the hospital. We all laid our hands, you know, on our sweet friend. And it was such a beautiful thing. I remember looking at everyone, looking around while we were praying. And it was so beautiful because every single one of us was there for this you know, friend of ours. And I just remember thinking, this is what it's about. This is what living in fellowship with other believers is about. And so I will never forget that.
So we're not expected to live this Christian life alone, and we don't want you to either. If you're, whether you're married or single or old or young or however you consider yourself, there's a place for you. There's a path group for you. You'll see those tables with path group leaders ready to talk to you. I encourage you to sign up. You check one out for a week or two, and then if you feel like, you know what, I want to check this one out here for a while until I find one that just really fits where I am, feel free to do that. We want you to sign up for that. We also have a class that really dives a lot deeper into God's Word. It's taught by Ben Fest. It's going to be on Tuesday nights at 6:45, so there will be children's ministry available for you. But it's called Sacrifice and the Lamb of God. So you can check that out in your bulletin. There's also a QR code that you can scan with your phone. Check out the Path Group wall for more information on that. But we're excited for this opportunity for you to dig into the lives of one another and dig into the God's Word together. Hey, love you guys. It was great worshiping with you today. Have a wonderful week. You're dismissed.